Super Jock, Larry Blue Jack. Hi, Larry.
Hey. Screw the caribou.
Yeah.
Jeez.
How do you like the water we have to drink around here? It's good, isn't it?
Have some water.
Hey, what's with the climate? Isn't it supposed to be warm this time of the year here?
Yeah, you just came in from sunshine.
Yeah. The desert states.
Well, what's it?
It's global warming.
You're a happy guy, Larry, I can tell.
Yeah.
Just the usual happy-go-lucky guy.
Thrilled to be back here, Don.
Yeah, I can tell.
You know, on that subject,
yeah.
As I recall, when I bailed out of this morning show 20 years ago,
yeah,
and let you guys take it over.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Larry.
And now you're making millions. Yeah. Wasn't there some sort of an agreement we had where you... In return, you would give me 5% of everything. You know, I have yet to receive the first check.
No, in fact, you sent us to an agent that was really a great agent. He was so spectacular an agent that he went to prison for stealing our money and Fred Winston's money. You sent me to him.
Yeah, well.
And I want to thank you, Larry.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that percentage.
Alyssa, hey. You know, if he got your money, and okay, the number I heard was that he scammed like $23 million out of clients, friends, even relatives.
Yes.
Well,
and we were little tiny.
Hey, you're
fish
naive.
In the pond.
You're naive. You're gullible. Wally Phillips and I never invested in any of that stuff. We didn't get burned because we're smarter than the rest of you, I guess.
Larry actually escaped unscathed.
I know, because he didn't invest.
Because he's so much smarter than
because
everybody
else. Because he's stingier than you are.
And screw the caribou.
Tighter with a buck. Do you drive a gas guzzling vehicle? Or do you drive a little Prius?
Well,
is this a hard question?
No. But I would prefer that you make future questions multiple choice because we got an SUV and we have I got one of them Subaru Bajas, those half cars, half pickup things.
Cool.
Well, you live on a mountaintop, so you need something that...
Yeah, I got to get up the hill. Well, that's why I need the all-wheel drive so I can get home.
So, you gas guzzle with everybody else, and you're ready to grill a caribou.
So this is going to be an exciting weekend for you, Larry.
Sure.
I know they're not going to make you drag yourself out of bed real early.
Yeah.
In fact, you get the 9 to whatever slot on Monday, right?
9 till noon.
Yeah, because you probably refused to do this slot.
That's right.
just like you did many, many years ago.
I remember years ago they used to have 3-hour radio shifts. That was the regular thing. You do 6 to 9, 9 to noon, noon to 3, 3 to 6.
You know, I'm amazed that you guys are still doing this. The aging... hippies that you are, I figured by this time you'd be up in Canada paddling around in a canoe chasing a moose.
We have a canoe, but we don't have a place in Canada, but those things are all possible. And no, we're still here. It's just because they don't pay everybody the big bucks like they do the super jocks.
Well,
and besides that, have you taken a look, radio today, it's a different world.
Yeah, the furniture in here. I thought this was big time radio.
How do you like the chair you're sitting in?
With
the arm that's falling off of the one side and the chair I'm sitting in that looks like rats came and gnawed on this thing.
I know, this is very depressing.
Hey, John McCain said the same thing when he was here just last week. This is
God,
really depressing.
This sucks.
I had a story for you, which I told, this most marvelous story about a parrot, Yosuke the parrot.
God, are we going to do this?
Flew out of his cage and got lost. He's a parrot that lived in Tokyo. And he landed on a roof in a city out in the suburbs of Tokyo. The police rescued Yosuke. Yosuke wouldn't say anything to the police. They kept him overnight, didn't say a word. It was an African gray parrot. They took him to a veterinary hospital the next day, and even though he wouldn't talk to the cops, as soon as he got to the vet, he began to chat to the vet, and he told the vet, this is verbatim, "I'm Mr. Yosuke Nakamura." And he then gave them his complete home address and the town that he lived in. He told them where he lived and the town that he lived in, and then he sang songs to entertain the veterinary staff. They called the town. They looked up the number in the town. They found the name of the family, Nakamura, and sure enough, there was a family with that name living at that address. They called them and said, "We found Yosuke, and he, you know, wants to come home."
Yeah.
And they said they'd been teaching him how to talk for a couple of years, how to tell people his name and address.
That was a fascinating story, Roma. And let me ask you a question. Did you get that out of the Weekly World News or Globe?
It's actually an AP story. It's a true story, yeah. Larry.
Okay.
This bird talked. I can't get Don to be that obedient. I've been working for, you know, 29 years to try to get him to do stuff. Do you have suggestions for us?
So, are you going to do animal stories when you do the Big 89 Rewind Weekend?
Sure. Yeah. Sure. All the, the kind of lowest common denominator type programming that I specialize in.
Well, we look forward to this. This is you and Tommy Edwards.
I think that's his name. Yeah, we're really excited about it, too. Can you tell?
Don speculated this morning that you paid your airline ticket and you paid for your hotel room and you wanted to come, that you were so eager to come back and do this that you...
You called and begged and you said, "Could I please come and spend a weekend and do radio? Just
it's all on me.
I ain't paying for nothing." The fine Citadel company is picking up the hotel and the airfares. And I love that company.
Well, that's good.
Want to buy my stock?
You're not an employee here, so you're freer.
Yeah,
that's one thing that's kind of neat about this kind of stuff is that I can say anything I want, and they can't fire me because I don't work here. You know?
Who did you hate working for most?
You want names?
Yeah, why not? We can do that. Or who did you like? Un-Larry. Who did you like working for?
Do you know who we talked to not more than a week or two ago? Les Grobstein.
Oh, the Grobber is going to be here for this Rewind thing, too.
Oh, geez.
No kidding, really?
Yeah.
Are you going to get him to read off dirty words off of company memos, or how is that going to work?
You know, Don, in reference to the Grobber, I find it strangely comforting that in an ever-changing universe, there are still a few constants in life that you can count on, and one of those constants is that Grobstein was, and always will be a complete idiot. And I look forward to working with him again.
Well, he's looking forward to working with you, Larry. Yeah.
I want to know what you can get him to do this time. That could get the FCC to investigate us.
I don't know.
Just try to work on that.
Yeah, we got a couple of days yet.
Yeah. So plan on that. And I think that Jeff Hendricks is going to come in as well.
That's maybe the last time I heard. I don't think he's got
an undershirt that'll be appropriate.
You know, the most interesting thing about having Jeff in that room, that newsroom right there, is that when the air conditioning would break down in there, he would sit in there in his old man's undershirt that was kind of gray, you know, one of those old man undershirts, sitting in there doing the news, sweating like a dog, and be sitting there reading the news. And we're having to look at him, contend with him throughout the morning.
I had to work with that guy every morning, and my favorite Jeff Hendricks memory is he had some sort of nasal problem where he had extremely dry nasal passages that would start bleeding just, you know, for no reason at all of a sudden. So he'd be sitting there reading the news, and you could see the blood drops start to drip out of his nose onto his news copy. And so during a commercial, he would run into the restroom and get some toilet paper and jam it up both nostrils. And the rest of the newscast sounded like this. I'm Jeffrey Hendricks, WLS News.
Jeff used to work in the studio with you. He didn't work in another room looking in.
Yeah.
He'd come in. And that was how, for instance, Grobstein was in the studio with you. And the mics were on, and you were talking about the memo. And he claimed, when we were talking to him just a week or two ago, he said, that was supposed to, we were supposed to be in commercials, and the mic wasn't supposed to be on. And I distinctly remember, because we worked there, we were working at LS at the time, and I think it was pretty clear that that you were just going over that company memo about the words you can't say, and you asked him to read the memo.
And he did.
And he did.
Aloud. On
like
the
I
air.
Said, the guy's an idiot.
Okay, well, so the...
Jeff was also the most frugal guy I have ever known in my entire life. He was worse than Don. He's worse than you or Don.
Okay, well, okay. Another Hendricks story.
Yeah.
You know, back in the days when we were at the Stone Container Building and parking on Underground Whacker... You know, and Jeff and I are down there, and we're all coming to work about the same time, you know, 3:30 in the morning, and Paul Harvey's coming to work at the same time, too, you know, pulling in his big, long, yellow Cadillac next to my brown, rusty Monza. Jeff, I swear to God this is true, he would be down there on Lower Whacker.
With the bums and the rats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Homeless guys sleeping down there in cardboard boxes and rats all over the place. Jeff's down there picking up aluminum cans, you know, to
he's going to recycle them.
He did, every day.
And he would always, you know, the payphones, you know, he would always check to see if anybody had forgot to get their change.
And the vending machines.
Yeah.
Legendary. And he took hefty bags. We once were invited, the whole team were invited over to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse for lunch. Went over there for lunch. Everybody had a steak, and it was just really exciting. And what did he order? There was this one thing way down on a dinner menu. He asked to see a special menu.
Like a 60-something ounce porterhouse, whatever.
And asked for that in a hefty bag.
Well,
I mean,
just
as rude as you could be.
Trucker.
Oh, well, the guy has no shame.
No shame.
Absolutely none. No, I have been to wedding receptions where Jeff and his wife were there. And
poor Jean.
Jeff. Oh, yeah. Jeez. How does that woman take it? Jeff is, you know, he's got on a suit jacket. He's taking handfuls of cookies and putting them in his pockets to take home to the kids. You know, it's unbelievable.
The kids. And then at the Taste of Chicago, when everybody got just crazy, we all went over there. We had the silver bullet. And we would do the broadcast
studio
from this silver bullet. And you could see Uncle Lair up there in his big picture window, watch him get drunk on the air and stuff like that. But you'd see Jeff, at the end of every day, he would get his hefty bag and throw all the stuff that was left. They would bring in spreads.
Cheesecake and ribs.
Oh, sure.
And
all
yeah.
in
went
the same
in there,
bag.
Into the bag.
Yeah.
Just throw it into his hefty bag and drag this thing like Santa Claus dragging a bag of toys out.
Yeah.
He's going to be here, maybe.
Yeah,
if
maybe.
You're lucky.
Yeah, if they're serving food.
They're serving food.
All right. So we're going to do this break now. The big 89 Rewind with Super Jock. Larry Lujack.
Why don't you...
You're a legend.
He's going to...
Our producers were excited to meet you because they said they'd never met a legend before.
I said, Hall of Fame, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I said...
That means a lot.
You know, I told them that when you show up that they should act really surprised and grateful when you hand out the money because you always give big tips. To the staff, wherever you go, the support people, the engineers,
you
the
bet.
Technical, the board
yeah.
ops, everybody gets tips because Larry is...
He hands out $100 bills
oh, yeah.
like they are.
Yeah.
Don't. We couldn't even get a shiny new dime.
Okay, the shiny. All right. We have the Einstein Hotline coming up. The big rewind, the 89. What did we? It's the
big 89 rewind
weekend.
You know, I have a question.
What?
Which I posed in Mr. Feeder's column in the Sun-Times the other day.
Yeah.
I have never understood this. I mean, we did this last year.
Yeah.
What does rock and roll have to do with honoring our nation's war dead on Memorial Day? I don't know. Do you?
Are you trying to ruin the whole thing, Larry?